Perhaps the most famous episode that's found in the Parshios Chukat and Balak that we lay in the Shabbos is the story of Mei Meriva. The story as we know it, which is found in source number one, is that Moshe Rabbeinu had a group of people, Klal Yisrael, who were starving for water. Vayarev Ha'am im Moshe. And they argued with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Kach atamata, take the staff, and you should speak to the rock in front of their eyes, and it will give forth water. So Moshe Rabbeinu takes the staff, he gathers the people together, and he says to them, Shimu nahamorim, listen, you rebels. Hamina sela zen nosila chamayim. Do you think that from this rock we're going to bring forth water? Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up his hand, he strikes the rock twice, and a lot of water comes out. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe and Aaron, Yan lo hemantim bilak visheni leinei b'nei Yisrael. Because you didn't believe in me or cause others to believe in me, lachein lo tavir tagala zel aretz asher natati lahem, you will not be privileged to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. So the obvious question that we need to ask ourselves is very simply. The question is, how are we to understand what went on in this entire story? And in fact, the Rechaim HaKadosh lists all the various options that there are of what went wrong. And the Rechaim HaKadosh, as well as the other Mefarshim, say is, Sach HaKol, we don't know. We don't know what exactly, there are many options, there are many suggestions, of what exactly was the chait, again, the chait, the sin of missing the mark, on the level Moshe Rabbeinu went on here. I'd like to just present perhaps the three most famous approaches, that of Rashi, that of the Rambam, Maimonides, and that of the Rabbeinu Chananel that the Ramban quotes. And the focus I'd like for today is not so much to try to figure out, well, what did he do wrong, because that's not our place, but rather what Moser Haskell, what lesson can we learn from each and every approach, so that we can enhance our own avodas Hashem, we can enhance our own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So let's see these three approaches. Source number two, Rashi explains that the fault lay in Moshe's disobedience of Hashem's word. Commanded to speak to the rock, he had no right to lift his staff and deliver a blow. Through this action, a sanctification of God's name was forestalled. For were the people to have received water through an act of speech, a moral lesson would have been conveyed to the children of Israel. The nation would have witnessed an object performing its Creator's will voluntarily, threats and physical force rendered unnecessary, and this lesson could have been extrapolated and applied to themselves, each person meditating on how his Creator's will should ideally be performed. So explains Rashi that there was a Kal Vachomer that could have been learned, that if the rock, who is able to obey God's will just through speech, how much more so should we obey God's will without any coercion, without any force, but this should be miratzonam atov, from their goodwill. That's the approach of Rashi. The Rambam notes a different approach. It was, listen now, shimu nahamorim. It was the anger that Moshe Rabbeinu expressed. That was the problem. And as the Maharal notes, at any place where there's anger and a lack of simcha, it's symptomatic of a lack of amunah. Because if a person has faith all the time, they will be in a constant state of emunah, of faith. So it was the anger was the element of missing the mark. And the Rabbeinu Chananel, the third approach, in the third paragraph in source number two, highlights a grammatical nuance which in his view encapsulates Moshe's sin. Notzi lachem mayim, shall we bring forth water? With these words, Moshe suggests that he has some power through which water will be forthcoming. Instead of saying, Yotzi, Hashem will bring forth, Notzi, the Nun, is we will bring forth. As if to say, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, who are going to be the agents to bring forth water. These three approaches are what I'd like to, Bezrat Hashem, examine together to see what we can learn for our lives. Before we begin, just like to share, I think, a very fascinating insight that the Sefer Migdash HaLevi points out. He says in our Tfilas HaGeshem on Sukkot, when we daven for rain, and we mention the different attributes of great people, and in their merit, we should have rain. So when it speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu, right, Zachor Mashui B'Tevat Goma Min HaMayim, remember the one who was drawn from that basket from the water. So in this little piyut, it says, Al Hasela Hach V'Yetzu Mayim, on the rock he hit and brought forth water, Bisidko, in his righteousness, Chon Chashras Mayim, bring forth water. So the obvious question is, here, which seems to be clearly a sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, in our tefillahs we're using it as an advocate. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock and brought forth water, and in this merit, Hashem, bring water to us. So Mikdash Levi argues, he says, perhaps you can say that this is a reference to Parshat B'Shalach, when he hit the rock when he was supposed to. But there, Tzur is used, not Selah. It's clearly an indication of our text. So the Mikdash Levi concludes, he says, Shekein Omnam, in the end of 3, then Nashma Shorbenu, Al Shema Shimso Shochei, Chayab Maseo Pidargato. Obviously, at Moshe Rabbeinu's level, this is a sin. But nevertheless, what is considered a sin for him, for us, is a tremendous chus that he was able to bring forth water. So again, we see that although we call it a sin, it's at the level we can't even begin to understand, to the point that we use the story as an advocacy to bring forth rain. I'll just note, almost parenthetically, Rebbe of Lublin in source number 4, Parshas Pinchas, Zimri Chemed, brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu, B'davka, did not want to talk to the rock because he was afraid of that Kal V'chomer. This is a beautiful Hasidic vort where Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that if the rock would obey, then there's going to be a big kitrug, a big accusation on Klal Yisrael. Hey, look, the rock obeys. How come you can't obey? So in order for that, there should not be this level of kitrug, this level of accusation against the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically did not speak to the rock, but hit the rock, and was ready to get punished for his immense love for the Jewish people. In his merit, in the merit of this leader who was ready to forfeit his Eretz Yisrael in order to protect the people, in this merit, bring forth water. Okay, having said that, let's begin our study. Merosh Shirim Rav Reis will begin with Rashi notes from the Beis Yisrael in source number 3 the following. He says, by Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the rock, there would have been a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Afa pi kein, im nitan haya ligron Kiddush Hashem rav yoter mizeh, asur listapek bepachot mikach. Moshe Rabbeinu striking the rock was also Kiddush Hashem. I mean, let's call spade a spade. Water coming out of a rock is a major deal. But note to Beis Yisrael, if there could have been even a greater Kiddush Hashem by speaking to the rock, then hitting the rock, so then, on this level of Moshe Rabbeinu, there is some level of Chilul Hashem, which means that there is a diminution of the potential of a greater Kiddush Hashem in the world, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is punished. What was this aspect of the Kiddush Hashem that could have come forth had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the rock instead of hit the rock? So a very beautiful insight that Shem Shmuel notes. Continuing in source 3, Rav Reis quotes Shem Shmuel by saying, Ki amuna bekach shekadosh baruch hu yachol l'shadein marachot ha-teva birtzono, eina nachalat am Yisrael bilvad. The fact that Hashem can control the world and controls nature is not something which is unique only to the Jewish people. Hakarav zuhi gam nachlatam shoksam umas olam. Even some nations of the world will also believe that Hashem is in charge of the world and he can direct the world and nature in the world. As we see by the Makos, V'yedu Mitzrayim, Keni Hashem. The Egyptians will know that I am God, that Hashem can control nature. What is unique about the Jewish view of nature? It's not that Hashem can control nature. That, again, as we noted, even Umos Ha'olam, even the nations can agree to. But it's Me'ever L'kach, Hayadu Melamedet, Judaism teaches, Shekol HaBriya Einah Tofesa Makom Klal. there really is no such thing as nature. Umisad atzma hi efes va'ayin, it is nothing. Mashayesh lebriya kiyum v'tziyut, hi rat b'shel ritzon Hashem ha'poel ba. That only thing that really exists is the will of God. Hu amar v'yehi, hu tziva v'yamod, he commanded and it is. The only thing that exists is the will of God. V'nimsa shekol ma sh'nireh le'inenu k'mitziyut mutzaka. Whatever appears to us as being reality, b'emet eino ela dimayon, is really a figment of our imagination. V'odeh mitziyut ha'mitid eina l'ritzon Hashem. The only will is the will of God. And therefore, had the rock been spoken to and not hit, had the rock just been sitting there, and Moshe Rabbeinu would have just spoken to the rock, and water would have come forth, that would have been the greatest indication, and the greatest Kiddush Hashem, and the greatest fortification of this concept, of the only thing that exists is Hashem's will. Hashem commands, and it is. As soon as you bring the element of hitting the rock, as Rav Eliyahu's Rashi points out, Rav Mordechai as Rashi points out in source number 6, as soon as you bring in this aspect of hitting the rock, so says Rav Rashi, what happens is it's really not the rock bringing forth water. It's really Moshe Rabbeinu bringing forth water, and that changes the entire dimension. And within this, a certain amount of Kiddush Hashem is lost. The power of nature listening to Hashem. On this, the Dashraga asks a Gevalta question. And my friends, again, I always hold that sometimes when preparing and learning, there's certain ideas that strike you that you say, wow, this is a fundamental concept that you just want to go around, in my upon bullpen, and just spreading to the world. This idea of the Dashraga had this particular effect on me. Ask the Dashraga in source number 7. He says, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to lead Klal Yisrael, to lead the Dordea, into a nation who left Egypt, into a nation who received the Torah, into a nation who saw major miracles. Yam Suf, man, I mean major miracles. And he says, and he showed how all the Bria does Hashem's will. Does it really make a difference if one Kal V'chomer, so one particular lesson wasn't taught? I mean, there are so many hundreds of lessons. They saw Kadosh Baruch Hu as no one else had. So one Kal V'chomer, so the I understand it's major. But in the spectrum, in the scheme of things, there was so much that was taught. For the one that wasn't taught, we have such a harsh punishment. And here's what he says. V'yuram Shel Torim, source number 8. Inyanim Ruchaniim Einam Domim L'inyanim Gashmim. We cannot compare the spiritual to the physical. Darko Shel Olam Hu, the way of the physical world is, Mi Sheyesh Lo Monah, let's say you have $100. V'nosaf Lo Od Zuzachad. And then somebody gives you another dollar. So now you have $101. But Lo Yishtana Matzavo B'zeh, She'nosaf Lo Ma'ad Kesev Ama Sheyesh Lo. Ki Derar Mu'ad Ein Lo Chashivut Ve'erech. If the person fundamentally changes, if he has $100, $101, or $105, no. Okay, if you give him another $100, so then he'll say there's a slight change, there's a slight increase. But a dollar or two, it makes no difference. In the physical world, when you add a small amount, a dollar, $5, so I have $100, I have $105, it's really nishkaferlach. It's basically the same amount of money, right? If I add $1 million or I add $500, that's already something of worth. Ach shonah ha-matzav b'inyanim ruchaniyim, my friends, this is not true in spiritual matters. Kol mala ruchanid, every addition in the spiritual world, v'lu haktana biyoter, and it can be the smallest. It can be like a dollar. It seems so small and worthless. Ein zu on malak reda. It's not just adding one level. It's not just adding one notch, it's changing a person from one extreme to the other. And now they are a dramatically different person. And here's his proof text to this. I found it. There's a holiday in the summer that most of us are not even familiar with. What a powerful holiday. It's called Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av. And the Gemara in Tanis asks, well, what is this occasion? Where the Gemara describes that the two most simchatic days, two most joyous days in Jewish calendar year, are Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Wow! So the Gemara asks, well, what happened on Tu B'Av? And the Gemara lists many answers. One of the answers the Gemara lists is that they stopped cutting the wood for the maracha, for the pile that they needed for the wood, for the mizbeach, for the korbanos. They stopped cutting the wood. They stopped cutting the wood? Okay, so they stopped cutting the wood. Is that enough of a reason to make it into a yantif, to make it into a festival? This is the greatest day of simcha for Klal Yisrael. So the Rabbeinu Gershon was sensitive to this question, 9a, and he says, Shibasha'ashayu kortim etzim, when they were chopping the wood, hayu mitbatli matara, they weren't able to study Torah. Avaloto ayom, but the very day, shipasku, that they stopped cutting the wood, asuoto yontov, they made it into a festival. Shibikaveilech hayu oskim b'tara, from now on they would learn Torah. So on this, the Dashrag asked, v'sariach lavim, hare haitazu mitzvah lechor etzim lamaracha. It was a mitzvah to cut the wood. And we know that if a person is osek b'mitzvah and it's a mitzvah overet, you have to be involved in that mitzvah. So what's the great simcha that they went back to learning? And if you want to tell me it is a great simcha that these guys went back to learning, why is it a simcha for Klal Yisrael? Because after all, only a small group of people were involved in cutting down the trees. And here's the punchline, my friends, 9b. Nimsenu l'meitim, he said, we learn from here. Kama gdola v'chashuva. How important, how special, kol tosefet b'limud ha-Torah, every addition in learning Torah, v'lu ha-safa mu'etet b'yoter, even if it's just a small group, who are able to go back to learning, harei zeh mishaneh et ha-matzav ha-klali shel klal Yisrael, u'mehava simcha gdola l'klal kulo. When a small group of people are coming back to learning, it's not just that small group that is added more learning. The entire Klal Yisrael feels this difference. There is a tremendous spiritual implication for this change. All of Klal Yisrael celebrate. There is a higher spiritual aspect found in this world. More people are dedicated to Torah learning. It's not just 10 more people are learning now. No! It's not just 10 more dollars. There's a dramatic change in the entire Klal Yisrael. Ki kol tosefet b'Torah b'ruchnius einan imdedet u'ma'arechet rak b'tosefet greida. Elo nechsheve l'darga chadasha u'mala shona v'gvoha b'techli ma'amala hakodemet. And that explains that each level is an entire level of increase. Now we can understand this original question. Does one kal v'chomer, one greater Kiddush Hashem, make a difference? And the answer is emphatically yes. Because in spirituality, every time we invest more spirituality in this world, it's not one more dollar, it's like $1 million more. And that's how we have to look at spiritual growth. You know, there's a story that perhaps we've shared before. It happens to be one of my kids' favorite stories. Still haven't figured out why. Rabbi Spiro tells in Touched by a Seder. And when giving over the story in my Ramat HaShkol Shir, a number of women said that their husbands personally experienced the same phenomena by the same individual. There's a certain store in Geula where in a bookstore, an individual went into the bookstore and he's looking through the Sfarim and he feels like a man is staring at him and it's very uncomfortable. And he takes off a book off the shelf, a sefer, and he's looking through it. And the man approaches him and says, are you planning on buying this sefer? And he looks at him and says, yeah, so what of it? He said, I'd like to buy it for you. He says, okay, I can buy my own sefer. I have money. Thank you, but no thank you. And a whole argument ensues, and he insists on buying it. And the man says, why are you insisting on buying the sefer? He says, I'll tell you why. He says, I'm blind, and I can't learn myself. So I like to buy svarim for avrechim, for yeshiva boys, so that when they're learning this particular sefer, and they feel like they're getting tired, and they just want to close the sefer, I want them to remember that I bought them the sefer, and that I can't learn Torah. And in my schus, they should just learn an extra 5 minutes, push themselves a little bit beyond. My friends, there are many lessons from this story. The one that is powerful for us is that extra 5 minutes that this blind man is creating in the learning world is 5 minutes worth $5 million spiritual dollars. When we push ourselves that extra kapitel tehillim, so we said the tehillim of the day, but we're just going to add one more kapitel tehillim, and we're sitting by the bus, we're waiting in the doctor's office, we say that one extra kapitel tehillim. I find that in the morning when I boot up the computer to check my email, I find it's a wonderful day just to say two or three kapitel tehillim. I know if the computer's having a good day, it's two tillim. If it's not having such a good day, it's three or four tillim, right? It depends on how much spiritual energy the world needs in that particular day. But these are times to create more spiritual energy in the world. And that's what we learn by that lack of Kal Vachomer. To take this just one step further, the Or Daniel notes, quoting Rabbi Yechezkel Sarna, that if you say, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu just did one sin, you know, is this one sin worth the whole not being able to enter to Eretz Yisrael? He said, yeah. Adam Arishon did one sin. We're here today suffering because of it. Avravinu asked, Bamei Daki Rishena, how will I know the Jewish people inherit the land? We had Brit Ben Absarim, the whole Egyptian exile as a result. One sin. We have to appreciate the small things. The Zeu Shamru, the asterisk in source 10, Asa mitzvah achar ashrav shechriyat atzmo vet kol haolam l'kav zchut. Person does one mitzvah, they have the ability to turn themselves and the whole world to the side of positivity. Avar v'ra achar oy lo shechriyat atzmo vet kol haolam l'kav zchut. Woe to him and to the whole world that can turn the world into kafzchut. A person has to recognize, b'shvili nivra ha'olam, for me the world was created. And a person, the arrow in ten, yachol la'ir levado kol olam kulo, v'lecholel bo ma'pecha shel mamash. A person can create a major transformation in this world. That's the koach of the individual, and we have to recognize that koach. One Kal Vachomer, one sin, you shouldn't say, it's a big deal, it's one sin, it's one Kal Vachomer. No. Recognize in spiritual terms how that oneness, that small thing, can tip the scales of the world in either direction. I'd like to share another story, my friends, the Or Daniel brings in Parshas Pinchas. It's a very sweet story. The story is of an Avrech whose wife, giving birth to her 10th child, has a very difficult labor, and the woman's life, the mother's life, is in danger. So they immediately call for Tehillim, for the friends and family. And they're davening and davening, and the woman's life is really in a precarious state. And one day, shortly afterwards, a 14-year-old boy goes over to the Rav and says, no one has to worry, the woman will be okay. So the Rav says, you know, since when did Nevuah come to 14-year-old boys? How do you know this? So the boy explained to the Rav the following. He says, a few days ago, I saw this Tehillim going on my way to Cheder, and I asked what was going on, and I joined the Tehillim, and they told me. So when the Tehillim was over, I had a private conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I said, Hashem, today I have a faher, I have a bechina for Yeshiva Ketana. And my brothers went to this yeshiva ketana, went to this school, and they were all accepted. And I knew, I was very confident I would get accepted too. And it's a big deal to be told right on the spot, not even the next day or later that day, on the spot, Mazel Tov, you're accepted. And for a 14-year-old boy, this is a major thing in his life. And I knew I was going to be accepted. And I turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Hashem, I'm ready to go through the Yisurim, the difficulty of not knowing right away. And every difficulty is relative to the person. For a 14-year-old boy, this is difficulty. And in that chus, in that merit, I want you to take away the Yisurim of this dying woman. And he said, what happened? I went to the Faher, and I did beautifully. I got all the answers right. I knew everything. And at the end of the Faher, instead of them saying to me, Mazel Tov, young man, you're accepted, they said, we're not sure yet. And I felt great, because I knew Hashem had listened to my tefillah. And then later that day, my parents called, and they said, we still don't know, which was so unusual for this school. They either said yes or no. There's no such thing as we don't know. And he said to this Rav, he said, I'm telling you, she's going to be okay. Sure enough, 3 days later, when the boy heard, his parents called up, and they finally said, he's accepted. That same day, the woman took a turn for the better and was able, Baruch Hashem, to be fine and was able to rejoin her family. One tefillah of a little boy can be machriya et kol ha'olam. We can never, ever put down the koach of the yachid, the koach of the individual. And Amir Tzashem, my friends, we're going to speak about this in much greater depth next week, Parshas Pinchas. That's the first aspect. That's the aspect of Rashi. Now let's take a look at the aspect of the Rabbeinu Chananel. So again, the Dashraga notes in source number 12, Moshe Rabbeinu kamuvan lo chata b'roshono b'kach shamar notzi l'chamayim. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see it sin when he said, we will bring forth water. Ki kulam yodim shu shlucho shamakom b'kol meito yifarach. Everyone knows that it's coming from Hashem. But nevertheless, a person has to be so nisar, has to be so careful that whatever comes out of their mouth should not be on any level of choser amuna, a lack of faith. As the Chovos Levavos points out, that the lashon hu kumnis halei, one's speech, is the quill of one's heart, and how careful we have to be the way we speak. And here in the Sefer B'yam Derech of Lugasi, in source 13 and 14, quotes from Yecheskel Levenstein, the Mashkiach, who notes that obviously everything that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen did was clearly an indication of the greatness of Hashem, right? We just had Korach. Moshe Rabbeinu says if Hashem creates a new creation and the ground opens up, they clearly saw it was from Hashem. So what is the problem in saying Notzi instead of Yotzi? Don't the people know it comes from Hashem? Here's the key in source 15. He says, "Hatviyah haita aleihem shebelashon ze shamru notzi lachamayim zeu hare lashon sheyesh bo pegam beemuna." There's something on their level faulty in amuna. Shekein ein laadam liyaches laatzmo shum yecholet v'koach mibiladei Hashem. A person can never attribute anything except coming from Hashem. Because Azai Am Yisrael kisheshamu lashon zeh shechtalu Moshe v'Aaron epulat hotzaat hamayim batzmam. Because the moment when the Jewish people heard Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron as if saying it's going to come from them, he natku makadosh baruch hu. There was a moment of nikutuk, of disconnection. V'nitztanem etzlam hamuna larega. And their faith became cold for a moment. And it was as if for that moment, they thought that Moshe and Aaron were the Baalei Yecholet. And this caused the Hesach Hadat. And for a moment, they forgot that Hashem is going to bring forth the water. This, he says in 16, is similar to the angels that came to save Lot. When they were taking Lot out of the city, they said, hurry up. Because we are destroying the city. Obviously, they're not the ones destroying it. But for that very one moment, they created that mindset that perhaps Lot thinks it's the angels in charge and not Hashem. And that's why on the angel level, they get punished by being banished for over 130 years. So Yaakov Avinu's dream, Olim v'Yordim bo, they first ascend and then descend. Why are the ascending angels come from heaven? These are the angels who made that remark and were banished from Hashem's presence for all those years until Yaakov's dream, and there's a lot of Torah on why Dafka at that time. So you'll say, come on, for one moment, for this Hesach Hadat, for this moment of not focusing, of this nituk, of this disconnection, that's enough of a reason. You didn't cause a Kiddush Hashem that the people would believe in me. And the answer, my friends, and this is really our theme song of today, that one moment, like that one action, like that one extra Kal Vachomer, that one moment is not just one moment. It's a whole mindset. And you know, my friends, where we see this source 17? We see it in Parsha B'Shalach by Amalek, when Moshe Rabbeinu was standing at the top of the mountain with Aaron and Hur on either side, and Yehoshua is fighting. And when Moshe's hands were raised up and the Jewish people looked klape mala, then upwards, then they were successful. And if Moshe Rabbeinu put his hands down and they didn't have that Yirat Shamayim, they were not successful. And in our parsha of Chukah, with the Nachash Nechosha, when they would look up at that snake, when they were being bitten by snakes, that moment of tshuva, they were healed. It's one moment, a moment hands up, a moment hands down. It's not just a moment, it's Hesach Hadas. It's losing your focus. It's disconnection from Hashem. And that moment when you're not thinking about Hashem, that's a moment of death. It's a moment of distance. And that, notzi l'chamayim, for that minute that they thought Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps was bringing forth water, that moment they were disconnected from Hashem, and that was a moment where he did not cause the emunah level that was necessary. The example that the Be'am Derech brings in source number 20, and I can relate to it in terms of many years ago, we're going back now like 30 years, I used to babysit in somebody's house in Yonkers where I grew up. I paid a whole trip to Israel that summer. I babysat there a lot, every Sunday morning, I think almost every night I was there. And they had a knight in shining armor with like the spotlight on this knight in shining armor. You know, you can imagine on those rainy, thunder, lightning nights when you're going to check on the kids upstairs and you pass a knight in shining armor. It's one of those events that you do not forget, you know, those traumatic childhood memories. I think the worst memory in that house was the radio going off, you know, the alarm radio going off upstairs, and you suddenly hear two men speaking from the bedroom with the knight in shining armor. You get the picture. Okay. Having said all of that, he gives this example. Imagine this knight in shining armor, this person wearing bulletproof vest or army equipment. And he says, you know what, it's really hot under this knight in shining armor. I'm just going to take it off for a moment in the middle of the war. You know, just for a moment I'll take it off so I'll get some fresh air. In the middle of a war, even for a moment you take off that garment, you're putting yourself in danger. My friends, every moment of our lives, we're in a battle to stay connected. For a moment of Hesach Hadas, for a moment of forgetting that everything comes from Hashem, it's a moment of death. Let's learn together. Bilvavi, make for me a sanctuary. Source 18, Rav Schwartz. A person needs to write for themselves the purpose for which we were created, and about every quarter of an hour he should take it out of his pocket and read it. Vani kervas Elokim litov. I'm here to have dveikus, connection to Hashem. This knowledge about life itself, next paragraph about the essence of life, it's not just another piece of information. The following parable will help clarify what we mean. A person climbs a tree and sits on one of the branches. Suddenly, the branch breaks and falls to the ground. The person immediately grabs onto the trunk of the tree. He senses that he must hold on to it constantly lest he fall and die, chas v'shalom. Hence, the knowledge that he must grasp the tree is not a mere piece of information. The person understands that his very life depends on it. If he would forget that fact, he would not naturally exert himself to hold on to a tree, and he would thereby endanger his entire life. The same is true with the issue at hand. A person must understand that his very life depends on this. He must constantly keep in sight the basic knowledge that the purpose of one's life is to be close to the Creator. This must not be an ordinary kind of knowledge. Rather, one must understand that his entire life depends on this. And if he forgets this knowledge, he places his whole life in jeopardy. Even before one knows how to cleave on to his Creator, he must first set it before his eyes the clear knowledge that man's entire life depends on the awareness that his only goal is to be close and attracted to the Creator. A man must feel the arrow at the end in 19, that just as he cannot exist without air to breathe because he would die, chas v'shalom, so too he must strive to sense that his whole vitality comes from feeling closest to Hashem. Without it, he is considered dead. And that's the first understanding of this Ramban. No tzilachamayim. Is it just a grammatical nuance? No, it's the essence of life. Because if for one moment you forget Hashem, that's it, my friends. Let's understand. How do we, as B'yam Derech, make sure that we always have Hashem on the forefront of our minds? So to read the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, that's what this whole Sefer talks about. Highly recommend it. Make for me a sanctuary in English. Otherwise, he notes in 25a, Harei Shekol Yisoda Torah Banui El Zikaron, the whole essence of Torah is on remembering. We have so many mitzvos to remember, Mamad Har Sinai, to remember that we left Egypt, to remember our relationship with Hashem. We're living in a constant awareness. As well as, he notes, in Source 26, we have to daven for it. Just like we daven for parnasa, we daven for health, we daven for the things that are really important to us. If your relationship with Hashem is really important, you'll daven for it. Hashem, I can't do it alone. It's hard to hold on to that trunk of the tree 24/7. Help me. Give me the strength. Give me the ability. Help me recognize and see you in every part of the way. And part of this, and we've spoken about this in the past, my friends, is to be so careful, and that's what we learn from this Rabbeinu Chananel, how we speak. Va'on nisak kal v'chomer, 27, the asterisk. Imoshe v'aron abitui b'ta'ut she'asami p'yem. If Moshe and Aaron, by some mistake that came from their mouth, notzi lachem mayim, they were so punished, how careful we have to be in our expressions. Shekulam bitui kfira, we have so many expressions which lack the omnipotence of Hashem. Ani aseh, I will do. Ani atzliach, I'll be successful. Tismoch alai, trust me. Tereh ma'aseh, see what I can do. All of these are bituyim, are expressions of kfira. Ev'u pogmim l'ma'od nishmat ha'adam u'mashchitim lo emunato. All these expressions have an effect on our emunah. And particularly in our generation of Ikvasa de Mashiach, the generation of Mashiach, we have to be so careful, which is one of our greatest challenges of seeing Hashem at all times, is to talk in a way of Bezrat Hashem, with the help of Hashem, and not about me, 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 notzi, yotzi, to not have that hesach hadat at any point of time. The second aspect that we can learn from this Rabbeinu Chananel comes from the Sefer Sam Derech, the Chavrin Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi, where he says in Source 20:39, V'im kol ze ro'im anu, even though the Shechina spoke from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, nevertheless we see Shadayin hayamakom l'ta'ut, there was still a place in the people's mind to assume that it was Moshe and Aaron bringing forth the water. V'lavin mitzurata dibur, and they would understand from the way he spoke. Avamina sela zen notzi lachamayim shekivyachol adavar naseh bechokhmatam shal Moshe v'Aaron. It was through the wisdom of Moshe and Aaron that this is going on. V'efsharut zu yechula kokach latod afilu b'nei dor dea. And it's amazing how this thought could even influence this generation who saw so clearly. Ayin ba'ayin, they saw so clearly Hashem. But it left room, the way they spoke, that maybe it wasn't Hashem. Yan lo hamanten bi, you created a situation where there was a doubt in people's mind. Ve'ad kedei kach mufla koach ha'ta'ut. Recognize what the power of our mind is. La'ver einei b'nei adam, to blind us. That this generation, for a moment, could have believed. Maybe it was Hashgacha. Maybe it wasn't. Can you imagine how many challenges that we have in our job? And we have to recognize that this is the way, Olam, from Helam, from concealment, this is the way Hashem created the world. Our job is to be able to pierce through the fog and be able to see the Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem, and everything. Our job in 40, Hitzbonenut v'amaka b'chol maaseh, to explore and understand everything that happens to us. L'ro'ot ma'einenu b'emet ve'eze lekach nitan lafik b'mimena. What should we learn from this? To open our eyes and not to be fooled by mistakes. And this is the challenge that we have in life. As the Gemara says, if you put your hand in your pocket, if you want to take out a quarter for the meter, and a nickel comes out, or a dime comes out, you fashvet shemaisav. There's a reason for this. Do tshuva at this moment. Hashem's sending you a message. And he quotes here, Gvaldik word of the Gra in 42 in the asterisk, on the Pasuk, of Hodu Hashem, give thanks and praise to Hashem, Kiru b'shmo, call on Hashem's name, Hodiyo b'amim alilotav, and let it be known among the nations his works. Kiru b'shmo means that you recognize shetachlit b'hoda'a l'Hashem, the epitome of giving thanks to Hashem, hilakir v'lero b'chol davar, to see in everything, ketzad hu mitjacheis l'ribon ha'olamim, how everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, in 43, this says the Samderech was the challenge of Bilam. When Bilam defies Hashem's word and says, don't curse, and he curses anyway, he goes to curse anyway, Hashem lets him go. But then when he's on the donkey, and there's a malach, there's an angel standing with charbo shlufa, with an outstretched sword, which the donkey sees and Bilam doesn't see. And the donkey veers off the way each time to avoid this malach. And Bilam's response is by hitting the donkey each time. There, the malach, finally, when he appears to Bilam, says, you know what, Bilam, this is the asterisk in source number 43. He says, Bilam says, I'm sorry, ki lo yadati. I'm sorry, chatati, I sinned, ki lo yadati, ki atah nitzav likrati baderech, that you were standing in the way. And the Sforno there notes, v'haya li lachush lazeh, the asterisk in 43. I should have been sensitive to this. If Hashem, if the donkey is moving in very bizarre ways, which he has never done his whole life, that is a cause for introspection. And that's what the Sforno says. Bilam said, I should have been more sensitive to this. And for not paying attention to what happened to the donkey, for this, Bilam is chayav misa. Not necessarily for disobeying God. He understood Hashem's will. He didn't understand it. He could have argued. But when something's happening right in front of you, you see it in front of your eyes, you have to wake up and respond appropriately. And that's what the Sefer B'nechta B'Sefer, Rasi Meir Schechter, points out in source number 45. He says, you're right, in today's day and age, we don't have a Navi. And we don't know the Mida K'neged Mida, the measure for measure, when Hashem does something, what our response should be. Right? So if I, stub my toe, I can't say, well, I use my foot for. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. But we do know, he says, U'bizmanenu, the end of 45, she'eno navi v'lo itanu yodei adma, she'en adam yodei b'vivur, ma'lav l'takein b'ch'yav shokol ma'rashi ra'lo. We don't know what we need to fix in everything that happens to us. U'ma v'diyot yorshim imenu min ha'shamayim, and what they need from Hashem. Aval im hu yodei l'fachor et etzem ha'davar, she'karish baruch hu ponela. If you know that Hashem is calling to you, kivyachol, and he's speaking to you, and he wants something from you, then at least you'll ha'etzahi la'asot ma'shenitan, the asterisk in 45, la'el yado l'takein et atzmo, do something. Bench with more kavana. Stand and sing an asher yatzah from a card, whatever it is. At least you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what you want, but I'm listening. I know you want me to do something. I know you're calling out to me, and I'm responding. Davin, please Hashem, help me. Make, put me on the right path to choose the right things. But our challenge is not to go through the world blind. Our challenge is to see the Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem. Our challenge, and it's a good practice to write at the end of the day, the Hashkacha Pratis that happens to you during the day, to be able to train our eyes to see, not to make this mistake of not seeing, well, maybe it was just a coincidence. Be able to see the hand of Hashem. And when something happens, you fashvei shemaisav, do an introspection, be able to see how can I grow, how can I learn. This is what's incumbent upon us. It's interesting, in Rebbetzin Heller and Sarah Riegler's new book, Battle Plans, How to Fight the Yetzer Hara, according to the Maral, Ramchal, Hasidic, and Muster Masters, she goes through this idea of what Yifashvei Shemaitzav is about, what it means to go through your day, and gives you a hands-on approach on how a person can do this Cheshvan HaNefesh, this introspection every night. But our job is to be able to see Hashem and to be able to feel Hashem and recognize that life is not a coincidence. I'll just share with you, my friends, I guess today it's a lot of stories, a maisa that happened to me this morning. So since it happened this morning, I'll share it with you. Where you see, and after this story, I said, you know what, like, Hashem, I know you're here. I know you're listening. It was so clear. This morning, out of nowhere, I was davening this morning, and I said to myself, you know, slow down a little bit, Shira. The halukas are so beautiful. Ava, Rabba, Gimbal. Just slow down a little bit more kavana. And that's what went through my mind this morning, davening. Not more than 20 minutes later, Chanela comes over to me and says, Ima, I found this kartis, I found this card, a laminated card, in my drawer. Do you know what this is about? And on this card it says, Kibalti b'li neder, I've taken upon myself without making a neder, lishtadel, lichazek b'tfilah, to strengthen myself in tfilah. I said, Chanela, I know exactly what that card is about. That card was like sent direct from heaven down to earth. Hashem saying, I got your message. I'm here with you. You open a pitcho, leave petach, tekudel shamachat, I'll do the rest. I just want you to know I'm here. And these are the experiences that we have to take to strengthen ourselves to see that nothing is by accident. To summarize this idea, Rabbi Miller in Shabbat Shirim on the last page notes in source number 51 that the power of messengers and intermediaries is illusory. And we in our present day society must integrate this knowledge into our lives and attitudes. From our lowly perspective, we must imagine that it is the agent, the doctor who holds the key to health. From our lowly perspective, we imagine that it is the doctor, the agent, who holds the key to health, not the true healer. A humorous yet penetrating anecdote is told of a man who, childless for many years, approached a Rebbe for a blessing. Unsatisfied with merely going to one Rebbe, the man approached a second Rebbe, also asking him for a bracha. Sure enough, during the course of the year, the man was indeed blessed with a child. Upon hearing the joyous news, the Hasidim of each Rebbe entered into a heated debate. Each group of Hasidim believed that the child was bestowed because of the blessing of their leader. A Torah giant was consulted, someone whom the Hasidim hoped would determine which Rebbe's blessing had borne fruit. The answer given was terse. The man was given a child because of the blessing of the Almighty. Unfortunately, however, the Almighty does not have any Hasidim. 52, it is incumbent upon us to trace everything back to the one source, discerning the sender of the message, he who is behind the agent. Although the presence of an agent may be necessary, the true source of all blessing, of all health, livelihood, and salvation should never be obscured. And that's the second level. The first level of Rashi, that one Kal Vachomer, is dramatic. It teaches us how Hashem speaks and the world responds. There is no such thing as a Ra. It's only the will of Hashem. If that's taken away, it's $1 million that's been lost. The power of one person's avoda, one person's tefillah, one boy's yisurim, that can change the whole world. A 5 more minutes of learning of saying Tehillim can change the world. Notzi, yotzi, we will take out instead of he will take out. Major difference. On the first level, we see that bad hesach hadat, that disconnect from Hashem, even for a moment, the war of Amalek, you lose. You take off the armor, you're destroyed. Recognize the power of attributing everything to Hashem. Notzi, yotzi, you may think that there is a force outside of Hashem. No. Everything that happens to us has to be ascribed to Hashem. You have to bring ourselves back to that level of connection. The final piece, well, this will conclude, if again Mirosh Sarim Rav writes, where we learn about the Rambam, the Maimonides of anger. And he quotes here a beautiful Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi points out in 53, Shemochiach bedvarim tovim dahainu, shomer l'chol Yisrael. When a person is giving tochacha, rebuke, you have to say it bederchei noam, pleasantly. And you have to speak about the greatness, goldo malato, mekol mekor machzav nishmato, and how great is the source of all of our neshamas. Asher be'emet nishmat Yisrael chatzuva l'malo mekisei kavod, that all of us come from this exalted place. V'goda al nachat ruach asher labor yisparach kivyachol mimitzvah kol ish Yisrael. And how much nachas ruach Hashem has from each and every one of us. V'goda al simcha asher b'chol lamop asiyat ish Yisrael mitzvot, and the great simcha in the upper world every time we do a mitzvah. And when you give rebuke that way, not yelling at them, listen, you rebels, listen, you fools, but in a way of building a person up, it has the greatest effect. And he goes on to say, really, Rashi and the Rambam are one. Kevan Shemoshe Achiyachad Yisrael Shon Shimon Amori. And he spoke to them harshly. That's why he had to hit the rock. Had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the people in a soft way and built them up, then even the rock would have listened to Moshe Rabbeinu and would have given forth water. Because when the people are elevated, and as we've spoken about many times, when the Jewish people are on a level of elevation, it doesn't only affect the people, it affects the whole world around as well. And when the people are on a level of connection to Hashem, the rock on its own, even the inanimate, wants to do the will of the people and would give forth water automatically. And says Rav Reitz, we learn from this Kedushas Levi something very important. All of us are in positions of giving telcha, of giving rebuke. And we can give rebuke in very harsh ways, or we can give rebuke in derechei noah, in ways of pleasantness, of building somebody up. Instead of saying, you slob, you can say instead, you person who is aspiring toward neatness, who has godless ha'adam, who you want to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu and create Seder in your life, in such a world, the jacket needs to be lifted from the floor and returned to its place. It's a whole different idea than you slap, pick up your jacket for the 15th time, right? Okay, the idea is understood. When we raise up the people around us and we raise up the way we speak to people, it not only has an effect on the person, it has an effect on our entire environment. And we're living in a life of positivity. And we will live in an environment of growth. Moshe Rabbeinu had the opportunity of raising the people to levels of great heights. And had he done so, he would have merited to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Because he was unable to do so, Shimu Nahamori, listen, you rebels, he lost this opportunity of going into Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, my friends, in naming the Shir vigilance, I believe that this is the essence of the Shir. When we're careful about every aspect of Ruchnius that we do, it's worth $1 million. When we understand that every moment we have to be connected to Hashem, to be able to see that everything comes from Hashem, to be able to speak to people as a Yitzir Kapav Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, as a creation of Hashem. When we live that life of vigilance, we're living a life of connection. We're living a life of determination to get closer to Hashem. And that's the bracha I leave all of us with, that we should be zocha to spend our week day by day with this focus, with this intensity, and we should be blessed with the Kadosh Baruch Hu just blessing us with a tremendous amount of shefa bracha, a tremendous amount of bestowing blessing upon us.